Previously on Imagine Dungeons.
Deep in the swamps, there's a place called the Steam. I went to go look, and there is surely an elemental in there. If we can repair my ship, I might have a getaway vehicle for everyone.
We're here as recruiters with an exciting job that will take them to the moon eventually.
You see Quoth's stand all the way upright, and the fire erupts from his body.
Well, none of us are as great and powerful as our lord. We could combine to power this vessel that you speak of.
Okay, so we either need all of the little guys or the one big guy.
You notice that there is a contract on this forge under a glass case that's locked.
If we rip up their rules, they'll forget they existed and they might help us.
The contract just goes up in flames.
It appears it is finally time for our appointed destiny.
To the moon!
Quathas Jr. is all riled up. You can hear from inside its body on fire. It's like... as it just...
the way that your headphones... The listeners will never get this.
Right,
the way
that took
your
a sip.
Headphones didn't really move, but your
still.
Whole head did.
Yes.
Was so good.
You see, Quathas Jr. is first going to disengage... and then is going to move, and that will provoke its booming blade. Fiddles, you want to describe what it looks like when this delayed effect happens?
Yeah, I think first step, everything looks pretty fine. Business as usual. Step two, much like the first. However, it's on that third step where suddenly, like a clap of thunder from inside the wound from the sword, there is a 1d8 explosion of thunder damage, and that's
I believe it's 2d8 now.
Oh, cool.
Got it. So that's an 11.
Nice.
All right.
Dang.
Then it is bloodied. It doesn't really seem to care because it runs through you and Ridley first. Each of you by... it can move... It literally moves through your body. And I'll post this effect in the chat.
First of all, pervert to do.
Yeah, it's yeah. Let me see. Okay, so you take 1d10 fire damage when it moves through you, and that will do. That will be. So each of you will take 2 fire damage, and when it passes through you, you are quite literally on fire. And so at the beginning of each of your turns, you'll take another d10 of fire damage.
Uh-oh.
Then it makes Great. It to the gust, so it has to make a strength save. It passes by meeting
okay,
that
baby Quathis.
DC. It has lots of movement. It is freaking out, and it moves through Sue's space, but I guess first it has to make a wisdom save against Spirit Guardians. Passes. So it'll take half of 3d8, if you want to roll that.
All right. 5 + 3 + 1, 9. Halved would be 4.
Okay. It's going to take 4 damage. Sue, you take 2, and you're on fire.
Cool,
so
cool,
that's
cool.
That's fun. And it has just enough movement to make it to Donnie and pass through. So, Donnie, you'll take 2 fire damage, and you are also on fire. At the end of Quathis Jr.'s turn, the Azers pick up these hammers that they've been using to forge their weapons. And you see one of them raise it and shout, for freedom. And they are just going to come charging in as fast as they can towards Quathis. So they'll have to use their actions to dash. But further deep from this cavern, you begin to hear the sound of fighting from behind you.
Like from where we came in?
Yes, from where you came in.
Do we think it's Oven Boy?
Oh, I forgot about Oven Boy.
I think Oven Boy has this real, like, he's a total rowdy rascal.
Like a bad boy energy.
Yeah, he's like Slimer. He's going to be like the Slimer of our podcast.
He's sitting on that oven backwards right now.
AC Slimer, dude.
Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah, he's somewhere between AC Slater and Slimer.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Sue, it is your turn. If you hear the sounds of the Azers running in and the commotion, you can roll a perception check.
Yes, please. Ooh, it's not good, though. Definitely distracted from the wind tunnel still in my ears. That is a 2 + 3, 5.
You're also going to take 6 fire damage.
Mm-hmm.
As you are on fire, you could use your action to put it out if you wish.
Feels like I probably should do that. What happens if I step into the wind? Would that also put out the fire, but then I have to make a save?
Yes, it is a double-edged sword.
And if I fall into the lava, that feels like a very bad thing, right?
Yeah, not advised. Not. But you can also do whatever you want. Don't let me make your decisions for you.
It was never good for Mario, so I can't imagine.
Okay.
Also, just to be clear, you could also use your action to put the fire out on someone else if you are so inclined.
Okay.
Why would you? You know?
I think Sue will pat the fire off their arms and wherever else it is, do a little, like, wring out the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll move closer to Quathis again.
Okay.
Get back in that range. And then attack with the meat cleaver, the spiritual weapon.
So it takes your... Okay, so your bonus action with the meat cleaver.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and roll the hit for that.
That's a 16 plus 6, 22.
That'll hit.
5 plus 3, 8 damage to Quathis.
Great. Great work. Okay. Quathis screams as a meat cleaver goes right into his eye.
Ooh.
Ridley, you're up. First thing that happens is you take 6 damage from being on fire.
Thanks. Okay. So I need to get off. I'm sorry to be selfish, team. I think I need to be not on fire.
Become off fire, sure.
Is stop, drop, and roll a bonus action?
It takes an action to put your fire out.
But you can just do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can describe it however you want to. But yes, it does take an action.
Okay, well, the way that I want to describe it would technically take an action and a bonus action. And let me see if there's anything worth...
I'll let it slide. If it's for flavor, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. So Ridley, to put himself not on fire, is going to pop into his shell and talk to Genbu about it and basically do like a little check inside of his shell. Hey, do I look on fire to you in here?
is everything going okay out there? You're not on fire.
Okay, great. I knew you had sand as a floor in here, and so I don't know. I just panicked and thought I could roll around in here. It's not. I think it's going pretty good.
Okay.
The team is doing well. I am a little tired, to be honest, but that's all right. But hey, I gotta get back out there. It's good to see you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So if you feel any shake, a whole lot of shaking going on, it's I don't know, this big demon just keeps punching me with his hair. We'll talk about it later.
Spices up my eternity a little bit. Go get him.
Yeah.
I like to imagine that Genbu is practicing putting.
For sure. Into like a Fontina Marina coffee mug.
Yes.
Yeah, he found a tie. Ridley will pop back out. As a turtle, I can go into my shell. I don't know that you guys have ever known this. I can go into my shell and it gives me a +4 to armor, but I can't do anything.
Oh.
Because I'm just sitting in my shell.
Sure. Protect you.
Mm. And so then I popped back out of that bad boy, fire free.
You could use your bonus action if you want to.
Well, most of my bonus actions are in addition to...
Mm.
Like an extension of an action that I've already done.
Just flip him the bird.
So,
does that include your new breath weapon?
No, it doesn't. Says Vince knowingly. coming out of the shell. This is great. This was not my. I was just gonna recharge a spell slot. This was gonna be a little inventory round. Ridley's gonna come out of a shell, all steamed up, and so uses movement to make sure that he's within 15 feet. I think I need to come forward just a little bit. To do
I imagine
that.
A little Godzilla noise on this.
Not in the and then is going to try and blast Quathis with a steam cone, seeing that that Fiddles has had some
steam-based luck.
Steam-based luck.
It fails.
Awesome. Okay, so that is 3d6 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, great roll.
Dang.
16. Nice. 16 damage. A 6, a 6, and a 4.
Yeah, very good. Your shell glows red as, it starts at the base and goes right up towards your spine as you do your best Godzilla impression.
Starts in my toes, makes me crinkle my nose.
The steam cone blows.
Note for the editor, will you make that the song this entire fight? Yeah.
We'll just have to call Miss Calais, but I think it'll be
yes.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think she's fine. Me that, she's
yeah. She seems chill.
Chill.
Yeah. She seems cool.
Quathis is like, will you count me in?
Donnie, first thing that happens is you take 6 fire damage from the fire that is encompassing your body.
Donnie, can putting the fire out be a bonus action?
If you have a reason that would make sense, then yes. But it does take an action typically to put it out.
Never mind. Donnie's he's just kind of been laughing the whole time. He loves the upright bass, and he looks at Quathis and he's like, you can't even fake play an instrument on the beat. Are you kidding? You can't. He can't. He's like looking at like his baby and he's like, your daddy sucks. Your dad sucks so much. Can't even play a fake instrument. Like, you didn't have to try. That's crazy. Vicious mockery again.
The quill flies over to Quathis and writes on his little fiery skin, your dad sucks. And he fails his save.
Oh my gosh.
It's 2d6,
yeah,
right?
2d6.
Your dad sucks.
And he has disadvantage on his next attack.
Yeah, it's 6 damage.
All right.
2 and a 4. 6 damage.
Okay. Anything else?
I would put this fire out, but can't really do that on a bonus action. So there really isn't anything else for him to do.
Okay. On Quathis' turn, he is going to first make a wisdom save and fail. So, Sue, you can roll your 3d8.
Idiot!
Yay! 7, 2, 2, 11 damage.
Great work. These tools, cooking utensils, forging tools, the hands have begun to like spread out and you can see the outline of a whole kitchen of halflings crawling all over Quathis, pounding away at its body.
Oh, cool.
So, be our guest!
We got a strength check for that wind, right?
Oh, yeah. Strength check for the wind passes. It is going to swing its whip at Sue, who seems to be the chef of the kitchen that is attacking him.
She
cooking. Let her cook.
First attack is a 15.
That does not hit.
Okay.
Ooh.
With its second, has a 27 to hit.
That does definitely hit. Just barely scratches.
That'll do 18 fire damage to you.
Yeah. Okay. Sue is definitely feeling that one.
Fiddles, back up to you.
Great. Six fire damage?
Six fire damage to start your turn, yep.
Perfect. Can I make a... let me ask you a question, Gage. Since I have cunning action, could I use dash to double my movement so I can roll on my way to this...
to try to put out the fire?
Put the fire out on my way?
No.
Well, sort of seems like you set us up to find creative ways to put the fire out, and then you were like, actually, you can't. Is cool. No, that's cool. I think that's a great... No, like, if that's something you want to do, I think that's...
Since you have cunning action, you can put it out, but it will not be a part of a dash.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that makes sense to me that rogues have this bonus action mess going on.
All right, sure. Well, I'm still going to do what I wanted to do, which is for flavor... I think Fiddles rolls down like a pencil, lays down like a pencil, and rolls the entire way to Quanthus.
Amazing.
And then on the stand up, sweeps up with the Sword of Transmutation.
Yeah.
Right in the Googer.
Fiddles, we should call that the steamroller.
So cute.
What? Very good.
The wind is loud.
That is That's a not gonna hit. 7 plus 6, 13. The sword goes right between the butt cheeks like a credit card swipe and never actually hits skin. Just shoots straight up between the cheeks. Complete whiff.
Yeah. And that's what you feel as you swipe. It smells like sulfur.
Okay. Yeah.
Swipe and wipe.
And it's just the wind blast is just blowing it straight in my face.
Okay. Glint, you are up.
Glint's going to just make eyes at Davey and be like, do you think you could get one of the big ones this time? And Davey, like, I'm picturing Davey just like nodding and reaching in Glint's satchel and pulling out a big arcano core. I think he probably has to use two hands for it. And he's like lifting it up. It's really heavy. He's lifting it up to Glint. Glint's able to grab it. It's like probably softball size, maybe a little bigger than softball size. I'm going to let an arcano core fly in the wind toward Quathis. This is a level 2 arcano core.
Okay. Roll the hit with advantage as it gets picked up by the whirlwind.
That second roll was a 9.
We'll take the first one then. Yeah.
Which is a 20, yep. Right?
So your first roll was an 8 and a 3, which is thunder and fire damage, which it's immune to. So it takes 8 of the initial damage, and then the 2d6 is a 2 and a 3, so a total of 13.
Well, don't forget Glint's in storm form.
So add your
So let's go ahead and D4. Add that 1d4, yeah. Which is 3.
Okay. With that, you see this explosion happen as it takes explosion damage, basically. And you see a huge chunk of its torso fall off into the lava below. Ooh. And it is very close to death. Before we get to this next part, I just remembered. So you need to make a con save from that last hit on you.
Cool. I can definitely do that.
Maintain your spirit guardians.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That is a crit.
Ooh, okay. Ooh. You see that they have... the rest of their bodies have filled out, and they are these, like, ghostly halfling chefs. They're all wearing chef hats.
I love it. Nice. We're all chef here.
Quathis Jr. on its turn... is going
don't do
to
it, you little don't
move through one more time.
No,
it'll do 6 more damage.
Listen, it wouldn't be a big boss fight if I didn't die. So this
Donnie,
is I think it, you need some consequences.
It moves away from you. Do you have? Oh, Donnie, you need to make a choice on if you want to use one of your melee weapons to attack Quathis Jr. as he, like the Tasmanian devil, spins away from you.
Dude, I'll whip him for sure. 17 plus 5, 22.
22 Ooh. Hits. I will say because it is a whip, you stop it in its movement.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes.
The Azers are continuing their rebellion. They seem to be pretty much expressionless, though, as they chip away a little bit of Quathus's health here. You guys can see the salamanders at the edges of the room are slowly starting to move towards farther away. They seem to be nervous about this contract being gone. The sounds of battle continue to be pretty loud around you.
Wait a second, guys. If the Aesir's destroy the salamanders, does that mean we leave here with no fire elementals and we've wasted our time?
Aesir's are fire elementals.
Could they power like a monkey man's spaceship?
You did not speak with them, but they seem to be big fans of contracts. So maybe.
Word.
Okay. But like you are, I mean, you made all of this up. So like, do they, can they fly the monkey's spaceship for us?
You could find out when it's your turn and you make an arcana check. Great time to roll inspiration, by the way, if you have that. Sue.
No, I don't think he would ever do that.
Sue, we're back up to you.
Oh, Sue is hurting. So I'm going to cast aid using my Ring of Ambrosia. I think as she like falls to her knee, it just starts to glow. And that will... Who else is around me? Donnie.
30 feet range. It'll get Donnie, Ridley, and Fiddles here.
Great. And that is...
10 health.
10 hit. Yeah, 10 health back to everybody.
Wow.
Thankfully... And then the spiritual weapon will go in for another swing.
Right. You can roll for that.
That was a crit fail, but lucky re-rolled. But that is a 7 plus 6, 13.
13 is not going to hit.
Fiddles right. Yells over the fire and the rushing wind. Thanks, Chef!
You got it.
Okay. The other thing, Sue, that now that I read aid and I remember,
yes.
It can only affect 3 people. So you have to choose one person to not get extra health.
Hey, leave me out of it. I was okay.
Okay. That's great. I'll do Donnie, Ridley, and myself.
Okay.
We're also the closest, so that makes sense.
All right. Ridley.
Never mind.
Chef, you are up.
All right, Chef. I still have Ice Glaive.
Yes.
Okay. So, Ice Glaive. Free action to convince the salamanders to not be babies and come with us to the moon?
Well, you're going to have to actually play that out. But it would be... Well, what are you doing?
So, wait. Can we get a clear picture? So, the Aesirs are attacking the salamanders.
Yes. They're ripping them to shreds.
And the salamanders were on board with us, but the Aesirs are not yet.
You do not know. You know that the salamanders seem to be, by their own words, they have enslaved these Aesirs.
Did forget that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if they're not fighting back, like they're not going to make it to the moon. That's kind of their deal.
not with that attitude, honestly. Space is probably hard. It's probably a hard journey.
We got a bunch of JV salamanders.
We're fine. Get rid of the weak.
Okay. Before I start swinging, how close? I know that he has a cleaver in his eye. Quathus, does he look like he's on death's door here?
His like body parts have been falling off into the lava.
Is it usually wild? Like that happens like right before you die?
Yeah, that's what they say. As your life flashes before your eyes, and your body parts start to drip into the lava. You realized you shouldn't have spent more time at work. Is it wild, guys, to try and convince him one last time to power airship to the moon?
I think we're going to have enough for airship power. I don't think we need Quathus.
You could try to convince him to surrender.
It would be pretty sick to have Quathus, though.
Just be like, hey, we're obviously gonna kill you.
Yeah, it's about to
do what
happen,
you want,
Kyle.
Though. Do what Ridley would do, man. Yeah, that's true. Don't listen to me.
Always looking for the deal.
Yeah, I love it.
So Ridley's holding this Ice Glaive, clearly ready to swing. And he says, "Listen, Quathus, it is We don't have to do this. You invite us here to our into your home. You show us you have an incredible operation going, and with a piece of paper, it's destroyed? That's nothing. What we are offering you, Quathis, is something. I'll tell you that. If you don't take this role, we will kill you. And the salamanders behind me, well, we got to figure that out, but they're going to die. At the end of it, it'll be nothing. What say you?
Make a persuasion check.
18 plus 4, 22.
Ooh. Ooh.
Quathis drops his flaming sword into the lava. Gets on his, falls to his knee. Says, "Then to you I give my allegiance. Write up a contract and I will sign it."
Let's go.
I cannot hear you over the wind. Hey, Glint.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. And he just sticks his hands in his pockets and the wind stops.
When the wind stops, you see that the lava that he's standing in begins to reform parts of his body.
Are we cool? He's growing his shoulder back and now his arm. Are we cool with this?
Can we roll some insight? See if we trust. I also have zone of truth.
To skip my turn. I swear.
If you want to use your reaction to roll an insight check, you can.
Yes, please. It's a 9 plus 6, 15.
The 16, you'd be able to tell that the wind was what was keeping him from healing in the first place.
Oh, so cool. The meme goddess.
These beings have seemed to be bound by these contracts magically. It's not like a word of mouth thing.
And we don't have means to do a magical contract that I know of.
Unless
or that Sue knows of.
You either trick it or, essentially put it in a position to continue submitting.
Can we operate out of turn order for like conversational stuff for right now or no?
Everyone needs to make a perception check first.
Got it. Dude, my rolls are dookie tonight. That is a 6.
13 for Sue.
23 for Glint.
That's a crit 23.
22 for Donnie.
12 for Ridley.
I think this makes a lot of sense for Donnie and Glint to see, since they're standing near these Azers. A couple things. First thing, Donnie, you notice that Quathis Jr. is not on board with this. He is still raging like a maniac. The other thing that you notice is that the Azers have not given up. They are still attacking Quathis. And Glint, you notice that these Azers have come from everywhere and are swarming these salamanders. You hear one from the base of the stairs, maybe like 100 feet behind you, raising his hammer over his head and going, "Viva! Viva revolution! Viva revolution!"
I like the little guys.
If you want to use your reaction to interact, Sue used hers. It is Ridley's turn, and so I will say as his bonus action, he can continue this line. Or anybody else who has not used their reaction this turn could use that to interact here.
Do I still have an action?
Yes.
But you're just talking about for like the free... Yeah, okay, great.
Quathis, I'll make a deal with you. It's like a contract. We can formalize this once we're sort of out of this mess. I have a puzzle for you. If you can solve it, then you can kill us. But as long as the puzzle remains unsolved, you will be in our debt, obligated to perform the tasks we ask you to. Do you agree to these terms?
Roll a deception check with disadvantage.
Oh, but it's so true. I'm not deceiving him.
You're tricking him.
Well, that first one was a 20, so maybe can we just use that one?
That was another crit.
Dude, you have, let's get another you're one. A crit machine tonight.
11.
Dosha's been a crit machine this entire campaign.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You see the lava has regrown his eye that has a cleaver in it, and you see like fire burst inside as he goes, I hate puzzles. No. No puzzle.
Hey, Ridley. King of contracts. How about you give me verbatim exactly what Oquatha should be doing for us right now? Say it out loud for me, son.
We need Quathis to enter into a astral transportation contract with Blendo, in which he will be the sole provider of energy to his airship to return to the moon and extend the fire elemental plane's presence across the entire galaxy.
I feel like there should be a line about like not hurting people or something. He seems a little dangerous.
While on the job, you agree to not use any hard drug substances, to show up promptly for work, and to not engage in violent conduct with your coworkers or with extra. Don't freaking hurt anybody. Come on.
One of the Azers turns and says, and he will swear to us. He will answer to the Azers. We will be his master.
We will assess the Azers' approach to management and leadership at 6 and 12 and 18 month intervals.
Roll a persuasion with disadvantage.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Oh no.
Can Fiddles interject here?
First, before you interject,
it's a 5.
The Azers say, no, this one has enslaved us for years, and also we will go to the moon and build a great empire.
Thank you.
Using this one to do it. Our brothers approach, and you see everyone turns to the south end of this room, or I guess the north end, where you came from in the stairs, and Azers are carrying giant chains.
Yes!
Viva!
Viva!
Luna!
And Quathis seems to be bowed in submission as it realizes that it is overwhelmed. Quathis Jr. is still spinning like a lunatic. He seems to not be down with this plan. So, Ridley, with your action, how are you putting Quathis Jr. down?
Oh, the baby?
Yeah, who's is going to keep setting everybody on fire?
Yeah, they'll do that.
Also not a person, just to be clear. It's a force of nature.
It's a baby.
Just a little baby tornado. It's a little dust devil. Can I get over to it?
Yeah.
I don't think I can.
Yeah, put it down. Tell me how you do it.
Okay, great. So I take the ice glaive and I walk over there and I'm going to try and... I think Ridley doesn't really understand how all this elemental stuff works. So even though it's run through his body, he's going to try and stab the glaive down through the fire baby into the ground. And if it doesn't work on the first one, he's going to try it again.
It works. You kill it. All that remains is a burning ember where the glaive is stabbed into.
I'm going to check out the ember.
How are you checking it out?
I roll for ember. I think Ridley kind of looks. Does it come up with the glaive on the, like, is it stuck on the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the ice from the glaive, and then Ridley's just like kind of blowing it. You probably can't hear that through the pop filter, but trying to blow out the ember and see if it gets any less hot, and it's going to take a closer look.
It does get you hot, but unrelated.
Does it get less hot? Like, does it cool down? Yeah, Ridley is absolutely steamed out of his gourd. He's going to go in and see what Genbu's up to.
What's going on, buddy?
It seems to be the remnant of an elemental. You think that with the right tools, someone who is skilled enough could use this to create something magical, maybe imbue your weapon or create some cool armor.
Cool.
Ooh.
I think Ridley would walk over to the anvil and look for like a pair of like smithing gloves or something that he knows can handle the heat.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like loosely wrap this up, wrap this ember so that it's not going to burn a hole in his pocket.
Yeah, good.
And tuck it away in the god shell.
As you're doing that, the Azers have all come over here and are wrapping Quathas in chains.
Great.
Is Quathas bound to power the ship, or it's the Azers now, right?
The Azers seem to want to.
They're going
to
use him.
But they're planning on using Quathas for it, and they will just be the ship hands. Gotcha. And stuff.
They also want to conquer the moon, question mark?
You can ask them.
Feels a little nerve-wracking.
Hey, do you guys have names?
The closest one to you turns and says, I am one. And then one across from you who's putting a shackle around Quathas' neck goes, I am four.
Okay, one. You guys seem cool. Viva Revolution and such. What's your... Hey, good to meet you. We probably should have talked to you before this, but I'm glad we're doing it now. What's your plan here?
First, we will chain our former master. Then, assuming your offer stands, we will accompany you to the moon.
Yep, that's the part. And then?
And then we will build a life for ourselves. Perhaps an empire of our own.
Like a cool empire or like a dangerous one?
Well, I imagine a cool empire would kill us and our people. So we will build a hot empire, one of forgery.
But like non-violent? You just want to go do some moon work? That's
perhaps
the vibe I'm picking up.
Some violence against invaders and slavers.
Hey, the Vivas seem cool with me.
All right.
Hey, four, you know how to put me out, man? You got anything on you? Put me out real quick.
He pulls leather gloves out of his pocket and hands them to you.
Thank you. And then he like puts them on, I guess, puts himself out there.
He just puts them on his hands and still just stands on fire.
That's awesome, man. You got leather bodysuit or some leggings or something?
Come. We will show you what treasures of the dwarves that we have hid under here. We offer them to you for freeing us.
Oh, please.
And
is there a 10,007 here?
We lost 10,007. Last year.
No. That's the smallest prime number greater than 1,000. This is an incalculable loss.
Now does his logic book make him smarter?
Two Azers push the anvil over. They topple it, and under it is a little caddy of goods that they seem to have hidden. Our contract did not stipulate that we would not hide the goods that we found.
Amazing. Hey, I love it. Love me a loophole.
And so they pull out. There's a small chest that has 500 gold in it.
And?
There is a lot of smithing tools. And the one who's formally identified himself as one says, they have kept a forge master alive, chained up. Perhaps you should recruit him. He is a master of the forge.
Is that the guy that was in the oven?
In the oven?
Oh, no, that is one of their small little gremlin creatures known as Mephits.
Oh, he seemed real cool.
They are not. I would not let him loose, or he will create unimaginable havoc.
Okay, so he's good there then. Perfect.
We thought.
So he's kind of like Jack. I don't know if y'all have seen Incredibles 2.
Do y'all have Pixar here?
We found that the oven was a suitable place for a fire goblin.
Sure.
That's pretty smart. You would know.
Sort of like putting me in a Taco Bell.
Do you all need a contract? Are you as crazy about those things as the salamanders are?
Well, we were magically compelled to follow it. But yes, we do like organization and stuff, but we do not need it.
Can we roll insight? I gotta check that.
I'm more of a freedom guy myself.
Or a zone of truth. Sue might just ask, hey, you know, that we don't trust y'all, because, man, you know I'm all about people. But are y'all cool if I just cast a little zone of truth and we can make sure that everybody's on board together?
This is a wonderful spell. Please cast.
All right. Then cast DCC 14, or you can willingly fail.
The one you're talking to, because we, by nature, are incapable of telling lies.
Great. It seems like the spell now is maybe a little unnecessary. If you had told me that, like, I don't know, 6 seconds earlier.
We could have been lying.
Fair point. All right, I'll take it.
Glint's elbowing Sue.
Yeah, and she'll turn to him. What's up, Glint?
I was very nervous during the fight, and now my feet are sweaty.
Oh, hey, you know, we'll take care of that when we get back to the ship. We got you.
I'm excited to get back to the ship. I don't enjoy being in these fights. Can you drop the zone of truth? I don't enjoy sharing all of these emotions.
Fiddles is steering very clear of the zone of truth.
I'm worried about my brother-in-law.
Davey is digging into the cache of hidden goods, and he pulls out a very small horn. And then he shows it to Glint and then points in his mouth.
Do you want me to blow this horn now?
He shakes his head no. And he opens his jaw like absurdly large, like you can hear the hinges like pop.
Hey, easy, easy.
And he points to his like vocal noisemaker and shows you like a screwdriver that he found in the cache, and he seems to be beckoning to you that he wants to install this horn into his vocal repertoire, and then points to Donnie and gives you a thumbs up.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Let's put that thing in there.
Oh sure, yeah. As soon as we get some downtime, we'll crack open the old exoskeleton and get to work with these new mods.
He seems to have found a cloth bag, like a little satchel, and he puts it in there. It's clearly the only thing inside.
Davey.
Is he wearing it like a little backpack, like a tiny backpack?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hey, where's this forge master you guys were talking about?
He is in his prison cell at the other end of this room.
Oh, the sign says forge master?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was a museum.
It says prison cell do not open under any circumstances.
Does he have a name?
He does. We are not good with names, however.
Let's go check out that cell.
On the other end of the room, near this staircase, you see when you open the door, there is a room where a lot of weapons are cooling. It seems to be the final stage of weapon and armor prep, where they cool and to maintain their shape. And chained to the wall is a burly dwarf with dark black hair. When you walk in, he goes, "He'll never catch me alive. Who are you? I can't see you. Speak."
Hey, friend. We're here to set you free, I think.
Freedom at last. Finally. It has been years caught in this infernal chamber without my tools.
We found a bunch of tools over there by the anvil. Should we bring them to you?
My tools, yes. Yes, slide them over.
Just one more insight check. I just, man.
Yeah,
I,
no, it's the
he
right
seems
call.
Very
it's
the right call. Eager.
I don't like it. I don't like two eager people.
Ow.
That's a 13 plus 6, 19 for Sue.
He seems to be looking down for most of this exchange, but you catch a moment of eye contact and you see that he has gone crazy over time.
Okay. Like fun crazy or like
like,
dangerous.
Oh, that dude's crazy, dude. Yeah. That dwarf, he's crazy, dude.
He's gonna have so much fun with
I
him.
I saw him drink five Rebels in one night back in 2016.
Dude, he's crazy. He can't be stopped, dude.
He's picked up a little bit of insanity and seems to be struggling to cope with the fact that he is not talking to himself.
I think Sue will communicate that to the crew and just say, hey, you know, I don't think he's all there, so we just might want to be a little wary.
I think that kind of hits Glint a little close to home, because I think Glint might be like, speaking as someone who may be getting a look into his future, I'd say we bring him the tools. Let's reunite him with what he knows best and see if those old neural pathways reignite.
All right, Glint. I trust you.
Donnie thinks this is a good idea and was already hearkening back to an old dwarven song that he knows that is something like chicken noodle soup. Can I cast like healing word and like sing a song and see if there's anything that we get a little bit of him back?
You sure can. And when you cast Healing Word, instead of rolling your dice for that, give me like a spell casting attack using your normal charisma modifier and everything, and then you can add a d4 onto that.
Yeah, Donnie starts to play something that he heard. He had a buddy in college named Thorin Oakenshield. And Thorin was cousins with this guy named Ed Sheeran, and they were great friends. He plays something similar to that. Donnie takes out his lute pedal. and just casts. Oh, that's good. Like a it ends up being a 13.
Add a d4 into that.
One more. Make it a 14.
It seems that this dwarf has snapped a little bit back into reality, and his grumblings and mutterings have stopped, and he stands up, looks around, and then slowly gets down on a knee. The tools, you have them?
Yeah. Glint's gonna hand them to him.
He takes some bolt cutters, or at least what would look to us like bolt cutters, and he snaps the chains on his wrist and walks past you towards the forge.
Where are you headed, friend?
I must pay my respects. And you see Glint, the hammer on the anvil that you couldn't pick up. He grabs the very end of the haft here by one hand and drags it over to this lava pit and tosses it in. And after he tosses it in, he falls to his knees, looking into this river of lava that flows through the cave. He seems to be saying a prayer as he does that.
Can I make a religion check to see if I can tell what he's, who he's praying to, what he's praying about?
Yeah, go for it.
18 plus 3, 21.
He's giving funeral rites to who you've heard tales are was an ancient dwarven god who died whenever the gods of this world sacrificed themselves to imprison the overlords. You see from his jacket pocket, he takes what looks like a leather wristband, and he kisses it and then throws it into the fire.
Donnie's continued like playing this tune, and it's just like, yeah, comes up closer. I don't think he totally knows what's going on, but there's something in his gut that it feels familiar. And so I think it's almost like he's kind of playing it for himself too.
You see him, as you get closer, you see him wiping the tears from his cheeks and then extending them as they drip onto the lava.
What do you know of violence and slaughter, stranger?
Well, I'd say I was born in it. Yeah, the fire's nothing new to me. And I can tell when something cuts deep. I've lost and I've taken, and it hadn't always felt good. Hell, it hardly ever does. But Kyber takes whatever she wants, I'd say.
I can agree with that. He spits into the lava and reaches into his beard and rips out a handful of beard hair and throws it. When he stands up, he says, I don't know who you are, but thank you. If you ever have need of my forge, I suppose it isn't mine anymore. But I'm the last of my clan. And if you have need of me to make something for you, I will.
It'd be an honor, sir. Absolutely.
Is everybody else kind of standing back?
Yeah, Sue's not going to interrupt.
For sure.
Okay. I think with Glint, Fiddles, and Sue, you know, Ridley's hearing this. He does not handle grief well, so he's definitely steering clear of this moment. But it's like, hey, I have, when I killed that tornado baby, it left a baby rock. Nah, it's just, I got this ember. And we'll kind of like pull it out. Gage, is it still burning?
It's hot to the touch, but it doesn't hurt you, if that makes sense.
Oh,
it doesn't give you a first degree burn or anything.
And this feels like a resource that, well, that man right there might be one of the only people on the planet that can do anything with it. Here's the deal. We have one. It didn't leave anything else. What should we ask him to make with this? I mean, we could go any direction here.
I think we should let him choose.
I like that. As a creator, if you haven't been able to create in a long time, I can imagine how much joy that would bring in.
Fiddles?
Yeah, let him pick.
Ridley's going to walk over to Donnie and to the Forge Master. Hey, listen, I heard that you might be... Sorry to listen in. For as big as the room is, it's kind of a small room. I couldn't help it over here. I heard you maybe getting back in the game. And I thought, well, we found something that I thought you might really appreciate using. You know, my friend Sue here, she's a chef, and yeah, certain restaurants, certain experiences, you don't order. You just kind of let the chef do what feels right for the night. I gotta imagine it's similar in your line of work, and so I'm giving this to you. Maybe you could use it. And he'll hold out the ember.
He takes it and holds it in his hand. And he clenches his fist around it. Could you come back after a day or so?
Yeah.
I think so. Hey, that's pretty hot, actually. You good? You're good. Yeah, I think we could do that.
He walks over to the anvil and places it on there. And he seems to be inspecting everyone's weapons You there, the chef. Step up here for a moment.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, just can you remind me your name? I don't think we got it.
Back when there were people to use my name, they called me Brandis Pristfork.
Brandis. Pleasure to meet you.
And you are?
My name's Sue.
Yes, like this. I see.
It's not that not that original, I know.
He looks at you and rolls up the cuff on one of his shirts, and you can see that there is a burn scar from his wrist all the way up to his elbow. Have you been burned before?
I have. It's kind of unavoidable in the kitchen sometimes, and it's happened once or twice. Let's just say that.
I can see it in your eyes. I'll make something for you.
It would be my great joy.
Master Brandis, is it?
Yes.
You mentioned you are the last of your clan, and there is no doubt that all of Eberron will suffer. Has suffered an incalculable loss for this. Should you ever desire to take an apprentice or even to record your teachings, the work of Clan Pristfork must not die with you, and it must not end with you. I don't want to offer myself because I am not a Pristfork, although I do have no small degree of proficiency with cobbler's tools, jeweler's tools, smith's tools, thieves' tools, and tinkerer's tools. So should there ever be any knowledge to pass on, well, it's like a steel trap up there, so I would be happy to safeguard this and take on this burden for your clan, this gift, this privilege for your clan.
I'll have something for you when you come back.
Cool. I'm going to drop a fast travel medallion here so I can just get back to this forge super easy.
I think we definitely see too, like maybe during this conversation, that there's like a fresh tuft of hair missing on the side of Donnie's head that's been thrown into the lava, and he's taking it, hawking a big old loogie in it. Or he turns around to head out.
Anybody want to do anything else before we head out?
Ridley's just going to run around to make sure that he like 100% of the map.
Clear all the fog.
Just smack all the walls. Just see if there's anything to get up on the tower.
Yeah, Ridley's doing like rolling into different areas.
There are three paths presented to you.
Dice Tower Theater presents Dawn of Dragons, a fantasy audio drama.
For all intents, I should have you exiled.
Time to wait.
The Sunless.
Down.
Our young heroes, bound by love and kinship, are forced on a quest to discover the truth behind the magic of dragons and seek those that stole it before their world itself is destroyed by the growing power of the Dark Army.
Come with us. Don't just wait here for death.
I won't lose you, my friend.
Take us below them.
Hold on.
You better answer me.
What was your name again?
The Blue Flame has the great risk, correct?
Are you sure, Sophie? I foresee a path you can understand, let alone tread, but you have to walk yourself.
I am no stranger to being alone. I know it better than anything else.
Dice Tower Theater, a Good Hand production, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Wake and remember the first thing you sense as your first clue.
Hey y'all, this is Mariah. First, I am so thankful that you are here and that you are listening right now. Okay, now that you're all buttered up, I've got two quick asks for you. First, could you please take just a moment to rate and review us on whatever platform you're using right now? It'll take just a minute. Go ahead, I'll wait. Okay, now think about your favorite people. Picture them in your mind. Come up with a sweet little list. Open up your texts, copy the link to our show, and send it their way. Not only is this the best way for our show to reach more people, but now you've got one more thing to talk about at your weekly coffee hang. That's all I've got. I hope you're enjoying what you're listening to, and thanks again.
After your long rest, on the way back, the Azers are marching behind you. You have about 25 of them. You have 20 of them marching behind you. And they have the large elemental in chains that they are dragging behind them. On the way, the party is going to encounter a group of vampires who had tracked you down to this location. And we will start by doing a little montage. And each person can describe how they dispatch and kill one of these vampires.
Ooh, okay.
I'm on Cheddar, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Donnie's going to do a classic. It's like meeting up with an old friend and doing that bit that you used to do back in college, and it's still just as funny as it was before. But Donnie, mounted, is going to take his whip and crack it and wrap it around. He's going to wrap it around one of the vampires. He's going to wrap it around an ankle of one of the vampires, and with the momentum that he has from how fast Cheddar's going and his orc strength, he's picking up a smaller one. Do like a windmill kind of thing.
Yeah, very good.
Cool. Onto the top of Cheddar's tusk through the chest. Kind of picks him up in one big swing and whoppa, impales him.
When he gets impaled, it explodes into dust.
Amazing.
Fiddles has been just sort of taking up the habit of, whenever possible, just sort of like idly whittling wood into a stake anyway. And so I think when we sort of catch wind of these vampires, Fiddles would have hung underneath Cheddar's belly from the saddle just rolled, let go and rolled, and just up straight through the chin and out the top of the head with one, like almost in like a Hamilton gun in the sky pose, just straight up through the chin of one of the vampires.
I think Sue's is an accident. I think they've stopped for like a little snack. They are like chopping up mincing some garlic, doing a little stir fry, and they like heave their cleaver back behind them and just like catch them right between the eyes.
Yes.
Since it's covered in garlic, just
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
I think Ridley will use a gun. I was gonna ask Sue for some garlic and just put it on a trident and blast one of them. I think what I'm gonna do is I'm on Grok, the frog. And so seeing the vampire come up ahead, I'm gonna jump over the vampire and then down A in the air, and just do a full body slam.
Instead of exploding into dust, it splats into dust.
Perfect. Yeah, so otherwise I could just then catch it on fire.
You can feel it.
Yes.
You can feel it pop beneath the weight of
pretty gross
of the giant toad. All right, Glint, how do you do it?
I think Glint's getting a little bit less afraid to channel the wind powers.
Love it, dude.
That he was born with. And so he's just going to have an Arcano Core in his hand, and then just a light gust of wind just blow the Arcano Core straight towards a vampire. Hopefully he can catch one that's kind of gawking at the other vampires who are dying, one that's in the middle of screaming, "Oh my God, they killed my friends."
But whenever he says, "Oh," they would not say "God," they can't.
Yeah.
"Oh my gee, they killed my friends." But whenever he's saying "Oh," I think the Arcano Core is just going to land right in the vampire's mouth.
Magic.
Can you do for what Davey? How does Davey kill a vampire?
Ooh.
Doge, how does Davey get his kill?
Ooh, Gage, how does Davey get his kill?
Davey sees you put an Arcano Core into a vampire's mouth, and there's a vampire laying on the ground that was trampled by, it's not Sui, or it's Sui, but Sui has a nickname, Cheddar.
Cheddar, yeah.
And Davey pulls his jaw apart and then slams it like a nutcracker on this vampire's head.
Dude.
That's pretty sick.
Glint will say that in your downtime, you're able to finish your studying of
He's been wanting to do this for so long.
Yay! You did it.
And we'll say that you're also able to install that small horn into Davey's soundbox. And you can tell because after he kills this vampire, he turns to you and goes,
Amazing.
After a long day of riding through the swamp, you can tell that you eventually arrive back at Cross Fork because you can see the Harbinger of Prophet, Lord Bartholomew's airship, flying in the air high above. You can see wyverns that are circling this airship. And the Azers behind you kind of... Hello, where should we park our elemental?
Oh, well, we've got a... y'all remember where Blindo's stuff was? Maybe we can head over there real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he found us both times, but...
I think he lives off in the woods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Off to the side.
The woods with the giant trees.
If I was from Earth, I would say they're probably redwoods, but I don't know what color the wood would be here on Eberron.
Blue.
He lives off in the blue woods.
Hold up.
Fancy California blue woods.
I've got an idea really quick. 1 second. And Donnie's remembering how Blindo just showed up last time. So he's trying to catch Ridley as he hits the ground with Grok. And as he comes down, he's just like, how you feeling about your brother?
Grok.
You feeling okay about that? You doing pretty well. Just trying to get real deep with Ridley. Because last time he did, Blindo just showed up. And maybe that just summons Blindo.
I don't know, man. I hope he's eating.
Grok.
Okay. So you guys head off to the Blue Woods. As you walk through Cross Fork, you can see that off to the Shaded Pavilion, you can see that the rest of your group, your party, is off and getting ready for sleep. But when you get to the woods, you see that Blindo is high up in one of the trees and kind of waves to you guys, starts sliding down when he sees this crew that you've brought him and the elemental. Just, hey guys, it seems that you've been busy.
That's one way.
I'd say so, man. We're trying to find the best fuel for you here. Hopefully you like premium.
You've brought us a crew as well. Oh, this is great. Okay.
And we're going to the moon.
To the moon. Back and home, yes. Okay, good.
Yes.
Yes, the moon is very important. And you are heading up that voyage, and this crew is excited for the moon.
Real excited.
For the moon. For an explicitly lunar sort of journey.
Yes, back to my house to see my family. Okay, perfect.
back to your empire to see your clan, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your kingdom. The kingdom they get to pillage, but with love.
They get to rule alongside you. All the other people who live on the moon.
So he's just leaning over. Did we actually promise them all those things?
Yeah,
I don't remember saying that.
I don't think that last part was in the contract.
I don't think so. I just like messing with Blindo.
Okay. Crew, you can follow me. I'll take you to my airship. By the way, has anyone come up with a plan for this? When should I stop by to bring my airship for the escape? What are you going to do with your other friends? Any kind of details really would be nice.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really talked about... We'll go back to you.
We're not give really like a plans group.
Yeah, we kind of just get up there and rip it. It's time, you'll know it.
Well, I did find out that the other airship is probably going to have to stop to rest their elemental in a day, a couple hours, you know,
Don't know. And I'm sure that their crew will want to get out and stretch their legs. So maybe look out for that. And I'll work on fixing up this airship. So good luck, guys. Crew, you can follow me.
Jesus, this is your new dad. Blindo.
I have never had a father.
Now you have one, and he's a monkey from the moon. Blindo, how attached are you to your airship in particular?
I mean, pretty attached. It was a gift from my grandfather when he passed.
Okay, never mind.
Are you trying to say, what if it was instead a stolen gift from a very rich man?
Right. The benevolence of dead grandpa. It's a cool ship. Really cool ship. What if you got to fly the Harbinger of Profit?
The one in the sky?
What if we steal the ship when they have to rest their elemental?
Oh.
Could we do an elemental swap? Like, do y'all have NASCAR here? Like a pit stop?
You might be able to sabotage the elemental. It's dangerous to steal an airship on account of the elemental not being bound to you as the driver. But who knows? You could try it, and we will see where that goes.
Fiddles wipes a tear from his eye at the uncharacteristically criminal question coming from Clint.
Blindo, could we do an elemental swap here?
You want to take theirs?
No. I want to put their elementals out of work, bring our crew on board, and then you're taking the Harbinger of Profit to the moon.
I'm not sure. I would have to take a pretty good look at the ship, considering I've never flown it before, and I mean, I don't see why the airships here would be made different than the ones on the moon, but maybe.
Different planet, I don't know.
It's all a coward's game to be up in the air. You gotta have your feet in the ocean. But
That's right.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if there was like an avatar ponytail jack-in thing for the elemental, or if we could just sort of put our keys in there.
The elemental and that ship has probably already created a soul attachment, and so that gets messy.
Benevolence of dead grandpa it is.
How common is divorce among elements? Never mind. Yeah, okay. Lots to think about.
Okay, anything else while you're by the woods?
Donnie's like waving off the Azers and Blindo, and he's like, hey, while we're away from some of the ears that we're not totally sure are on our side back at Jody's spot, maybe we make a plan for this egg. What do y'all think? As far as I see it, we've got a couple routes. We can try and use our riz and not get anybody hurt, or we can fight a hell. We've seemed pretty capable to do both, and I'm fine with either. But what are we thinking? We trying to be sneaky? We trying to be blatant? What do y'all want to do?
Here's the thing about Lord Bartholomew. He is not a forgive and forget type of person. If we do this, and he knows it was us, we're going to have the considerable resources of a very bad man pointed in our direction.
That's not much. Sure, that doesn't seem to be something we're not used to. You know, what's too considerably bad over one? I don't know.
I just think that in a race between vampires and money, it's pretty close.
I'm going to have to make that a shirt. One second, I'm thinking about it.
Have we considered asking Jody for help? She's been nothing but hospitable to us up to this point, and surely she would at least understand if we told her we owe a favor to Ingo, the merchant with the giant hat. Surely she would at least listen compassionately upon our situation. But is it hospitality towards us, or is it hospitality towards her guests?
because Bartholomew is also one of those.
Sure, we don't have to tell her we need Bartholomew's egg. We could just tell her we need an egg.
Now, color me crazy, but I do think we've had that conversation before with her, and I do think that she's the one that told us that he was coming in the first place.
Yeah, she may not know about Ingo, but if
we tried to leverage thumbs, remember we said, like, hey, if we get you thumbs, then, like, maybe you could give us a wyvern egg.
If I was in her seat helping five, I don't know, what are we, pirates? We can figure that out at some point.
Definitions would be good.
Or, certainly not pirates.
Or a councilman of the Talento Plains, Falafel Plains.
Polenta, I think.
Polenta.
The polenta.
Is it orzo?
Pimento.
Pimento Plains.
It's Ingo.
That decision is... I mean, I can't even falter. That decision's pretty easy. I think we got to go this alone.
What happens if we don't get Ingo the egg he's requested?
Yeah, what'd you promise him, Ridley?
Well, as far as I could tell, there's not really a time limit on this. It's more of a compulsion to get this done. Like, I don't know if I'm about to die, if maybe something weird will happen in my final moments, but...
Ridley, you would know that you signed a magical contract, and these magical contracts are connected to very powerful Oathbreaker knights who hunt down those that break it.
That's going to be a problem.
But I also know that there are Oathbreaker knights.
Oh, right. Those, yeah.
And
oh,
wow, yeah. I am a paladin.
Fiddles gasps.
Read the player's handbook.
And his eyes go wide, and he just says, Nicole Kidman! And he channels to see through the eyes of his familiar.
When you warg into Nicole Kidman's body, you're first overwhelmed at the eight perspectives.
Sure. That takes a minute. After about 45 minutes, though, I level out, right?
Once you stop throwing up, once your vertigo subsides...
His eyes are just rolled in the back of his head and he's vomiting.
What's wild is...
That just happens.
Is halfling body and spider body vomit at the exact same time.
Spider's just too small. You can't see it.
You were on...
I hope not to ever see it.
You recognize that you were on Jody's leather boots that she wears. And it seems that the voices above you include... Lord Bartholomew, Jody, two elves who wear this green plate mail, and a final figure that you can't place, but seems to be wearing a sort of raggedy cloth pant. They are discussing the terms to their deal. But it's difficult to make out their voices from all the way down here. And when you look around, you notice that you are under a table. Mm. And the rest of the conversation is happening above, naturally, where people's heads are when they sit down at a table.
Sure, yeah. I think
so it's a lot like Earth in that way.
Yeah. Where heads are. I think Nicole through Fiddle's bidding would attempt to climb out to where the sound would be a little clearer.
Okay. You climb up. Where are you climbing? On, like, do you want to be like behind Jody's shoulder? Or are you trying to climb up?
Yeah, I think I would probably climb up the chair, like the back of the chair that Jody was sitting in.
Okay. When you climb up, I would like you to make a stealth check using the spider stat block.
Got it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a nat 20, baby.
That is very good. For a total of 24 and a nat 20.
The spider's inside all of them, just crawling in their ears, out their nose, through their butts.
Lord Bartholomew is like, yeah, and as I was saying, the easiest way to steal this from me would be...
when you climb up, up the side of the chair, you can see that there is a thread of spider web hanging from the ceiling. that must have been made by some previous spider that dwelt here that you're able to just reach and attach to.
Just snag,
and
yeah.
Zip up. From the top of the room,
yep.
You see the whole group laid out. The figure that you did not immediately recognize is one of the pirate crew from the Blood Drunks.
Oh, no.
They are discussing terms and conditions. It seems that this pirate is in league with Lord Bartholomew.
Classic.
And they are exchanging the egg, which they've purchased from Jody, to the Wyvern Riders in exchange for information about... it seems that they're looking for the whereabouts of another vampire clan. One that they seem to be notating on this table. They're pointing to a map, and they are pointing to what is known as the Mornland, where about...
Mourn is in mourning or mourn is in sadness?
Mourn is in sadness. And at the center of the Mornland, you would know, just like all of you would, that about 100 years ago, during the Great War, the Mornland essentially imploded, and this thick smoke covers the entire land still, even after 100 years. That seems to be the terms and conditions for this deal that's happening.
Just to make sure I'm understanding all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
Jody supplied the egg.
Correct.
The Blood Drunk pirate is in league with Lord Bartholomew. So Lord Bartholomew and the Blood Drunks, acting as a unit, purchased the egg from Jody.
Correct.
And they're trading it to the Wyvern Riders in exchange for information about the location of another clan of pirates.
Of vampires.
Of vampires. Okay.
Who they believe to be located in the Mornland.
Can I tell if Jody seems comfortable with this visually?
Ooh, roll an insight check.
Not my
eight times
suit.
For each of your spider eyes, probably, right?
Say 13 minus 1, a 12.
Spiders famously bad at reading facial expressions.
Does the spider have a different insight score than I do?
No.
Okay.
I'll say since you're the one interpreting it, this is different. Jody seems to be in good spirits. You notice that she has a mug of ale in front of her on the table and doesn't seem to be objecting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not necessarily, you know, like, it's not bad. Like, I guess, yeah, it's not like, it doesn't seem like it's like black marketing. Well, maybe it is dealing in information. I don't know. Is there anything else that I can glean while I'm in here as Nicole Kidman?
Make a perception check.
Yeah. There's an 18 minus 1, a 17.
On the far side of the room, in what looks like a normal basket, they've made a nest for this egg, trying to keep it safe. And it's just behind them on behind the table. It's pretty big. It's like it's 3 feet tall, maybe.
Whoa.
One and a half in diameter.
Was not what I was expecting.
I was thinking like ostrich egg.
Same.
That's humongous.
Yeah.
How are we going to steal this thing?
If only we had a bag of holding.
How big is the mouth of it?
The bag of holding.
Or like a kind of nerdy guy with wind powers.
Does have a space with a... The bag of holding does have a 4x4 magical space inside of it, just so you know. So it could fit if you emptied it out.
Oh, we gotta thank y'all.
Okay. Mm. Is it crazy to ask for Nicole Kidman to walk her way out to kind of like chart a course to this room from somewhere on the ship?
Yes, you're going to need to make another stealth check.
Got it. That is an 11 plus 4, a 15.
Okay. Nicole Kidman is good to make your way out. Nicole Kidman leaves this room to the south and enters a very long hallway, where you can see there's a set of double doors on the opposite end, and then there's four doors on two on each side of the left and right walls.
Great. Am I picking a route right now?
Yeah.
Okay. The northeast door.
Okay. When you slip under that door, you see that it is lined with cannons.
Great.
And there is four pirates in here who seem to just be lazing around. One of them is stacking cannonballs at the south end of the room, and then the other three are just sitting on their chairs near the cannons, like,
sure,
lazing about.
These are pirates?
Mm-hmm.
So Bartholomew is crewing his ship with pirates?
Yes, you can infer that.
Interesting. Are they vampires? Would I know signs to look for?
I don't think so.
Are there any, like, teeth on the ground? Like empty shells?
They have like blood dripping down their chins or... Yeah, no, they don't.
Okay, well, if I can't tell, then I think I'll head to the door on the north side.
Okay. Inside of this door is a bedroom. It seems to be the captain's chambers. And not Lord Bartholomew's. There is a map above... this cot where it seems that whoever the captain is sleeps. There's a wardrobe. There is a box that's full of crossbow bolts. And there's a little familiar statue of Tim Cannonfist. Make a perception check.
Okay. The 18 minus 1, a 17.
So you see that there's like a, that there's a box, and when you peer into the box, it looks like it has someone else's possessions. It seems that Lord Bartholomew used to stay in this little room, but has since given it up for the pirate captain to stay in. You can infer that because among these belongings are like, is like a folder of contracts. There is a couple of silver rings. And as you dig through this box, you also find there is a small portrait of Lord Bartholomew and what looks to be a teenage girl. This is like, you know, 14th century portrait style. So they're not smiling. His hand is just around her arm, and they are sitting still for the painter to finish.
Great. Can Fiddles talk to, like, is my consciousness fully with Nicole Kidman, or can I be like relaying all of this to the party as it's happening?
Not as it's happening, okay. But
as soon as I get out, then I will.
Yeah.
Okay. So interesting. Any other doors out of this room, or just the one I came through?
The one you came through. There's the one opposite of the hallway, and then there's the double doors that were at the end of that initial long hallway.
Okay, I think I'm going to head back out into the initial long hallway and go through the double doors at the end.
You slip through the bottom of these double doors where you can see this purple light glowing through the room. And when you slip through, it looks like there is this massive crystal at the center of the room that's connected to like what we would recognize as like an air duct. And you can almost see what looks to be a face within this crystal.
Okay. Anything else stand out about the crystal?
Like it
face feels like a pretty big thing.
Sure, yeah, but like is it carved? Is it like growing into this shape? Is it moving?
Within the crystal. So it looks like this crystal might be hollow. There is, you see this face. It looks almost like there is a coalescing fog within this crystal.
I get it now.
There's some condensation on the outside of it that you can see.
But does it have anything like cool, like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth?
Does it have any games?
Does it run Doom?
It has a couple USB-C ports.
That's good.
That's nice.
Yeah, they didn't.
I love it when you future-proof your crystal.
That probably means that you can get Skyrim on it.
Yeah. the spider tries to leave real hard.
Through the door you came in?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. When you leave through that door, you see one of the pirates see the spider. You sure? Ah! And then you awaken as a boot was crashing down on Nicole Kidman.
Oh, wait.
She's a familiar. She'll just come back tomorrow.
That's
nice. She can't really die. Okay.
You good, man? Your eyes were rolled backwards and you were puking for a long time. did you notice anything as a spider?
First of all, I'm very hungry and I'm glad that you just connected those dots for me. Second of all, we are in trouble. And then Fiddles relays every bit of information that he just gathered to everybody.
Well, so sounds like we'd still just have one group after us then, since they're already in league with one another.
Yeah,
turns out might be as bad as we thought it was before.
A couple questions for you here, Fran. Fiddle. For one, I want to ask, did you see the egg? Did you happen to see the egg up there?
Yes. The egg is unfortunately in the room with all the people we don't want to be around the most.
Sure. Yeah, and you said, and he recounted all of this to us, right?
Yep, every bit.
Okay, so the place they're keeping the egg, the little makeshift nest, this makes sense to me. You know, I've seen wyverns before. I've said that I don't try and deal with them, but I've seen a nest and I've seen an egg. And would you say this one was average size? Like if you could with your hands, like draw it out for me, do you think you could do that?
Fiddles just does a full hula hoop.
Okay. And now I got to work to scale here. So probably that times five. I've got a touch of an idea and I'll try not to be too rash about it. And I'm happy to talk more, but Fiddles, how do you feel about a heist?
No response. Fiddles has frozen completely. And then you notice that he's actually just vibrating like a Motorola cell phone.
Well, that feels like a good idea.
Yeah, I think he likes it.
I think he likes it. I think he likes it. So, our crack and whistle. Y'all seen me do this a couple times. I made good attempts, great attempts, and I've made some pretty bad ones. I made a pretty fleshy scarecrow of a priestess that the boogeyman decided to eat her face, right? So we try not to think too much
really
about that.
Yeah, we never really decompressed or sort of processed that as a group.
I think I blacked it out.
That's one of those things that I think you just need to shove as far back as it'll go.
Far back.
And,
way gone.
And then bury it beneath the foundation of what you build your sanity upon for the rest of your life.
I thought when Fiddle had him killed that would be gone from my mind too, but I didn't. It didn't
it's
happen.
It's still there. I think when about I my eyes.
That flesh scarecrow every day. Every single day.
I can hear it. I actually am imagining and can still hear the squelching.
Did it have a voice for you? Does it have a voice when it talks? Does it ever talk?
It well, just now cries. It's gonna.
Here's the thing. It seems like this egg is just about big enough that I can make us another one. So if we pull off some kind of heist, maybe our friends won't ever think it was gone if we do it well enough. Now, I'm willing to make this egg, A, if this is a good idea for you, but also B, Fiddle, I need to know something. Before we send you on your heisty self, about everything about you makes me want to trust you. Hell, the way that you rode Cheddar felt like we were kin. But what's going on with your eyes, son? Talk to me. What's going on with this? When you were Worgen, you didn't have much control of things going on down here, and I took a closer look, and I like to think that I can be pretty observant of people. It helps me write. It helps me remember. What's going on, man? This is not what you used to look like. If you can tell me this, maybe we can get started on making an egg for your heist.
For once, pretty serious. Fiddles settles down and looks you square in the eye, Donnie. And just says,
Look, you guys have become pretty important to me. And there are some things about me that you all deserve to know. But you have to believe me when I tell you. Today, before we do this, is not the time. If we pull off this job, I promise you every answer to every question that you have. But if you know the truth about me right now, it's very possible that it just makes this whole thing a lot harder. We talk about trust. Can you trust me?
Donnie, pretty stern-faced listen, showing concern. Kneels over a little bit. I don't think he tries to kneel too much. I don't think he's trying to make anyone feel smaller than he is. And does a tussle of Fiddle's hair. And he was like, "All right, kid. I trust you. Anybody down for a heist?"
I really hope that the blue eyes don't mean like Wyvern Rider Destroyer of Worlds guy. But other than that, I'm good.
I'm ready for a Swamps 5. Is that anything?
I like Fiddle's 5.
The vibration is so strong that Fiddle's is practically like lifting off the ground about an inch at Fiddle's 5.
Donnie puts his yarding just so close, just to, as it just barely touches Fiddle's skin, and it sounds like the fastest strum.
Glint, what do you think, man? I haven't heard from you. You feel comfortable here?
Well, Fiddles, whoever, or whatever you might be, I would assume that's who you've always been, right? There's no secret that could possibly invalidate all we've been through up to this point, right? I trust you.
Fiddles grabs Glint's shoulder, reaches all the way up and like pats Glint's shoulder and goes,
"Thanks, man. I think he meant like a plan, though."
Oh, let's do a heist.